Once again, it's my privilege and opportunity to be your speaker this morning. I appreciate that. We're thankful to see everyone here that's with us this morning, and if you're visiting, you're certainly welcome here at any time. We're glad to see you here today with us. This morning, I'm going to look at an idea, a question. Is the church too legalistic? Are we too legalistic? Now, that's not necessarily a term that you'll find in the Bible by itself, but the definitions of it are there. There are synonyms, and we're going to be looking at specifically a certain group of people who are identified in the Bible, in the Scriptures, in the New Testament, as legalistic. Now, I'm going to read Mark chapter 2, and I'm going to begin with verse 13. We're going to read through that chapter into Mark 3, verse 6. So beginning with Mark 2, verse 13, "Then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, 'Follow me.' So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, 'How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?' When Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.' The disciples of John and the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came to and said to him, 'Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?' And Jesus said to them, 'Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, 'Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?' But he said to them, 'Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, who also gave some to those who were with him. And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath.' And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Step forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil or to save life or to kill?' But they kept silent. And when he looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other." Did you notice there? And I'll finish here in verse 6. "And the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him." Notice here in verses 5 and 6 specifically, after this interaction with the Pharisees, who many people consider legalists, in verse 6, "The Pharisees went out immediately and plotted with the Herodians against Christ how they might kill him." Why? Because of what he said to them. Verse 5, "Jesus, when he looked around at them," the Pharisees, "with anger." How many places in the New Testament do you find Jesus getting angry? In the temple, He was upset there, and that's called righteous indignation because it was dealing with the worship and how man changed it. And God has the right to be angry. He's not just emotionally upset, as we might consider anger, without justice or cause. He was God. He was grieved by the hardness of their hearts. So why was he angry? Because he was grieved by the hardness of their hearts. And so he heals this man. Now, this can get a little complicated. We want to hopefully make this as simple as possible to understand what Jesus is talking about here. You know, a lot of times, before I get into my lesson too deeply here, and the question is, are we in the church too legalistic? Some people will say, yes, you have one cup. That's legalism. You're too overzealous and zealous about what the Bible says, disregarding all other conditions or situations or needs of people, biology, germology, whatever the right word is there in biochemistry. When you consider germs that men only recently were able to discover, for a while they even didn't think there was anything to germs. Now we have specific ideas and understandings about it. We're not ignorant of what germs are and what they do, but there's an inconsistency of what men do concerning God's worship and how they handle germs otherwise. I've read what geneticists say about germs, and basically it's handshaking, drinking from water fountains, sharing a common vessel. Where's the evidence of anybody getting sick? But of all the arguments made over time in history, and Jesus, of course, was the creator, so shouldn't he have known about germ warfare when he gave us one cup and shared it with his disciples? Was he ignorant of germs? I say no. He was the Lord. He knew what he was doing. Now, people today say you're legalistic, you have one cup, and here's what the definition of legalism is. If we go to Acts 22, because I really can't give you the term other than what secular history says about it, but Paul himself said something about it in Acts 22, 1 through 5, and not all Pharisees are bad. There are good Pharisees, there are bad Pharisees, just like there are all kinds of people that are good and bad. In Acts 22, 1 through 5, brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you. This is Paul speaking, and when they heard that he spoke to them in Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, I am indeed a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you are today. Keep in mind the idea of zealous. I persecuted this way, that is the church, Christians. I persecuted this way to the death, binding, delivering into prisons both men and women. And he goes on talking about his zealousness as a Pharisee. Now, how do we know Paul was a Pharisee? In Acts 23, verse 6, but when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged. And he goes on and deals with them. Now, Paul was a Pharisee. 2 Peter chapters 2 and 3 gives warning about false teachers, hypocrites, Pharisees, when he talks about them. They would bring in false doctrine into the church, doctrines of demons. Now, Pharisees generally weren't bad people. There were some bad ones, and Jesus deals with those who were hard in their hearts and stiff-necked, as the Bible calls it, unwielding to God's will. Basically, to be legalistic is to be overzealous about God's law, where you add man-made ideas, terms, doctrine to it. Now, the question of the cup. Has the church ever added to what Jesus said? No. It's one cup. We haven't added any words. We haven't taken away any words. See how simple that is? What about people who use cups? Who did the adding? You have to add to have cups. They made that a doctrine. Now, do we just dismiss them as they don't know any better? Are they the Pharisees? Are we the Pharisees? Adherence to God's rules, and that's what we're talking about, rules of Christianity, are throughout the Bible. God says, don't add to or take away from. Stick to my word. Study my word. It'll prove itself. It's eternal word. The Bible goes on with many synonyms about how we are to adhere to his word. If we do that, we're called legalists. If we do what the Bible says, people call us legalists. Apparently, they don't know what legalist means. Overzealous about doing God's will, but adding to it man-made doctrine or ideas. Paul understood that. He did it in all good conscience, hauling off Christians to prison, killing them in all good conscience until he met Jesus, who said, "You're wrong." Now, what changed with Paul was he had an idea about God, he read about God, but he had man's ideas concerning who God was. When he met Jesus himself, he understood what God really wanted. So, to not be a legalist, to not be a Pharisee, is to have not just a knowledge of God, but a relationship with God himself. To do what he wants us to do, have the mind of Christ, to do his will. In order to do that, we have to respect him. As God the Father, as Jesus, our spiritual brother, as our Savior, as our Lord. And once we do that, we have a relationship and we want to obey the rules. Now, aren't rules rules? Well, as we studied and as we read Mark here, we had a detailed conflict between Jesus and a group known as Pharisees, and they had some rules. They got overzealous about these rules, and Jesus found a certain group who were doing things wrong. They wanted to follow God, but they set themselves up in the place of God over time and were telling people what to do, even though they themselves didn't do it, and Jesus addressed that. You know, when we have rules, we all understand rules of the road. We understand rules in school. May not always like them, but we know what they're for, to help us have social order and so forth. Now, concerning games, I want to mention just a minute of those of you who know baseball. Back in the 1980s, the Minnesota Twins had this description of the game of baseball in their program. Quote, "You have two sides, one out in the field and one in. Each man that's on the side that's in goes out, and when he's out, he comes in, and the next man goes in until he's out. When three men are out, the side that's out comes in, and the side that's been in goes out and tries to get those coming in out. Sometimes you get men still in and not out. When both sides have been in and out nine times, including the not outs, that's the end of the game." That was the Minnesota Twins' description of baseball on their program. Now, that's, to me, confusing. Unless you know the game of baseball, you can kind of follow along what's going on. And baseball itself can be a confusing game, like other sports. There's a lot of rules that you have to understand, and it can be hard on a new player, someone who's interested. I played football basically all my life, but I never really knew all the rules. If you ask me about NFL football and some of the rules, because some of them change, I really can't tell you a lot, even though I played football. Because all I was concerned about was in the play, what the play was, if it's an offensive play or defensive play, where I was supposed to be, my position. That's all I really cared about. The other rules I knew not to violate, the general rules, but there were specific rules I really didn't read or study, just the fundamentals. What's wrong with that as Christians? Do we have to know every specific little thing that the Bible may address in certain situations, or do we follow as novices and we grow and mature and we learn over time? But in the meantime, we don't want to be like these Pharisees and become legalists, adding to God's word where he has said not to add. Well, baseball can be a confusing game, and in the game of Christianity, if you allow me to use that term, there are rules. Even though it's not a game, it's a serious lifestyle. But there are a lot of rules we need to understand. Now, in baseball, one man shared that can be especially difficult, affecting kids that play in little leagues. He said, quote, "There are always new players who do not know or understand the rules. The game becomes confusing and frustrating for them. If you don't hit the ball, you're out. Unless you get four bad pitches before you three,